At the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, John Akawi from Tanzania was a favorite to win gold in the marathon. He had finished first in the African Marathon Championships. But just 12 miles into this 26-mile race, Akawi fell, hitting his shoulder hard against the pavement and badly wounding and dislocating his knee. Bleeding and limping in pain, he continued running, finishing last a full hour after the winner. As he crossed the finish line, a cheer came up from the small crowd that was still left in the stadium. When interviewed later and asked why he continued running when he couldn't possibly win, he said, "My country did not send me 9,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 9,000 miles to finish the race." Stay faithful to the end is the title of the message today, and it comes from the last verse of our scripture text from Hebrews chapter 3, and it is verse 14, and we read, "For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." We are given a warning in this verse to stay faithful and not fall away from God. To stay faithful and not fall away from faith in God. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 this morning? Hebrews chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, I read in Jesus' name. "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus had been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, teach us from your word today. Let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts through your word to bring conviction, to bring understanding, to bring the motivation that we would be following you in faith to finish the race that is set before us. Teach us what it means to stay faithful to the end. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a continuation of the messages of the series that we are in on warnings from heaven. And on your bulletin cover is our theme verse there. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven. And Jesus indeed speaks to us, the one who came from heaven to reveal God to us, and is still speaking to us through his word today. And so don't refuse him who speaks. And these are warnings that God wants us to take to heart and to listen to his word. Listen when the Holy Spirit speaks to us through his word. And so it begins by telling us to stay focused. Stay focused. And I know that when I become weary in an athletic event, sometimes it's difficult to keep my focus. If I'm out riding my bicycle, it happened to me just this past Thursday, I was getting tired and exhausted. We were really pushing and pressing, and I almost went off the side of the road because I was riding maybe a little too close to the edge of that, but the pavement dropped rather sharply, and all of a sudden I realized, man, I am just inches away from going careening into the cornfield. And I just told myself, Tim, stay focused. Stay focused. And today we need to stay focused, first of all, on our calling. This passage begins, therefore, holy brothers. And brothers is used there inclusively to mean all Christians, all believers in Jesus Christ, all who are part of God's family. We talked a little bit about that last week. We who are part of God's family, God's household. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, keep focused on your calling. It is a heavenly calling. The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. It is a heavenly calling. The goal is for us to reach heaven, to reach that paradise with God where we'll be with him forever. It is a beautiful existence forever, and what makes it most beautiful is that we will be with God forever. It's the reason for which we were made. It is our goal. So stay focused on our calling. God meant us to live with him forever in heaven. God meant us to live with him forever in heaven. It is a heavenly calling. It is also a holy calling. It says here, holy brothers, holy believers in Jesus Christ. The word really is saints. And the Bible tells us that if you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, as you have received him for the forgiveness of your sins and the assurance of everlasting life, if you are part of his family, you are a saint. This word holy is the same word used for saint. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus once for all. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, what he did on the cross, and our believing and putting our faith in that, we are holy. We have been made holy. And God is still working on us because he has made us holy. Holy by washing us through the blood of Jesus Christ, but we don't always live holy, do we? We don't always live in that walk with the Lord, and that's part of our sanctification, which just means the process of being made holy in our heart and life, even as God has declared us to be holy by the forgiveness of our sins. But that's a process. We're not there yet. We're not completely holy. But we need to focus on our calling, which is a heavenly calling and a holy calling. Keep focused on the finish line is what we're really saying here. And to do that, we have to stay focused on Jesus. It says, consider Jesus. And this word consider does not mean just a casual consideration. If you've got your Pew Bible open, it's the New International Version, I think it translates this more accurately when it says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. And later on in Hebrews chapter 12, it will say, fix your eyes on Jesus. And even though we can't see him with our physical eyes, we can see him with the eyes of faith. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 1. But we are to keep focused on Jesus. The previous chapter, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus. And it's not just a passing glance at Jesus. When we see Jesus, we are to look intently to Jesus. Keep focused on Jesus. It's not a casual consideration, but it's a thorough consideration, a careful consideration of Jesus. Keep focused on Jesus. And third, keep focused on your hope. If you drop down to verse 6, it says, Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Our hope is that goal of being with the Lord forever in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, it says, we have this hope as an anchor to the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. And so we are to keep our focus on the hope that we have that will be revealed to us when Jesus Christ comes again or when he calls us home, no matter when that is. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully. We are to keep focused on our calling. It is a heavenly calling. It's a holy calling. We're to keep focused on Jesus, and we're to keep focused on this hope that he has given us by faith in him. Hebrews chapter 6 also says that we who have taken refuge in Christ have a strong encouragement to take hold of that hope that is set before us. Take hold of that hope. And that's the next point that I want to look at, is hold fast. And in verse 6 it says, if indeed we hold fast our confidence. Hold fast our confidence. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Hold fast to our confidence. Don't let it go. Keep your grip on it. In 1 Timothy 6:12, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, said, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. And so keep our focus on our hope. Hold on to that hope and hold on to Jesus. And how are we going to do that? How are we going to hold fast? In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, it says that we are to hold fast through God's word. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, and I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. We don't want to be like Israel was in the wilderness and resulted in 40 years of wandering the wilderness and never entering the promised land. We don't want anything to keep us from entering into the promise that God has given us of eternal life with him in heaven. And so he says to hold fast to God's word and to his promises. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said the same thing. He said, Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, in which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Paul preached the gospel, they heard that gospel, they believed that gospel, but they had to continue in that gospel in which you are being saved. Yes, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ and trust in Him, we are saved. It is an accomplished fact. But we can't just rest on that fact. We'll find out that God wants us to continue on in that faith, because the ultimate end of that salvation was when Jesus Christ comes again and takes us home to be with Him, or whenever He might call us home through death. Right now, and that could be today, it could be tomorrow. We never know. I talked to a woman yesterday. Her husband, at the age of 46, without any health problems, died in her arms of a heart attack. 46. We never know. That just happened a few months ago. We just never know about tomorrow. But we are to hold fast to this gospel, hold fast to God's word. It is a word of promise. It is a word of grace. In Luke chapter 8, verse 15, Jesus had given a parable about different types of soils and the seed of the word of God being thrown out there onto these soils. And the good soil that bore fruit, He said, this good soil are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart. Now, we can't just say, okay, yeah, I accepted Jesus Christ back here. That's good. That's our start. But He says we need to hold fast and continue in that faith, not falling away from it. Continue in faith. We don't have to wake up every morning asking whether or not if I'm saved. I'm not saying that in any sense of the word. Because we are saved. We can look back and say, yes, I have received Christ. Yes, I am believing in Jesus Christ today. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. No one is able to snatch them out of my hand. And the Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I and the Father are one. Nothing is going to be able to snatch you out of Christ's hand. But don't jump out of His hands. Don't jump out of His grip. Don't reject what He has so graciously given by neglecting, as we said last week, this wonderful salvation He has given us. Don't neglect it. Don't go away from it. And remain faithful. Hold fast to God's word and remain faithful. In verse 12 it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. That's the warning we have. That if sin takes root in our lives and it causes us to harden our hearts against God, the warning is that if we continue to harden our hearts and not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Word, we may come to a point where we no longer desire Christ's salvation. We may no longer desire Christ or want to focus on our heavenly calling. Don't allow an unbelieving heart to lead you away from the living God. And that word for unbelieving is literally unfaithful. If you go back to verse 2, it says that Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to Him who appointed Him, just as Moses also was faithful, and for Jesus has been counted more worthy. Moses was faithful in all of God's house, but Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And it talks about how Jesus was faithful to the calling that God gave him. Moses was faithful to the calling that God gave him. And it's saying we need to be faithful. The word for faithful is the same word translated as unbelieving, except it has a negative attached to the front of it. So it's unfaithful. So it talks about faithfulness, and we're to be faithful to Jesus Christ. We are to be faithful to God. Don't let an evil, unfaithful heart lead you away from the living God, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened in the deceitfulness of sin. And what does that say? It says if there's anything, any sin that's got a grip on your heart and life that's leading you away from the Lord right now, leading you away from fellowship with believers, it says don't let the sun go down on that sin. Confess it. Repent of it. As long as it is called today. And we are to go to our brother or sister in Jesus Christ and say, hey, I want to exhort you. And the word for exhort is the same word in the Greek as encouragement. It's kind of a mirror image of the same thing. It's an encouragement when you show somebody how they need to repent of their sin so that they can continue in a close fellowship with the Lord. It is a loving act to do that. And so it says, exhort or encourage one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened in the deceitfulness of sin. That word for hardened is scleros. You know, you have hardening of the arteries. It's the same medical term for that hardening of the arteries. Don't let your heart get hardened against the Lord. But finish in faith. Finish in faith. Verse 14 says, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. It talks a lot about this confidence in this verse. This confidence is our hope in Jesus Christ. This confidence is that we believe and trust that Jesus Christ died for our sins. We don't have to be wondering. We don't have to be doubting about it. We have a firm confidence in Jesus Christ. He did die for us. He did raise. And because Jesus Christ lives, we too shall live. We just need to trust what God has done for us. Trust it. Hold on to it. Turn away from sin. Continue to confess and turn toward God. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12 says, and we desire that each of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Hold fast. Last month at the Boston Marathon, thousands of determined people ran, walked, or stumbled across the finish line. Marine veteran Micah Herndon crawled across, determined, resolute to finish the race. Herndon had been running well, but his legs locked up near mile 22 of this 26-mile marathon, and he fell to the ground. When he couldn't stand up, he started to crawl mile after mile, 4 miles, pushing through the pain, going across the finish line on his hands and knees because he was focused on finishing. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 tells us to run with endurance that race that is set before us. I think maybe even if we have to crawl, continue the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart. Hold on. Stay focused on your calling. Stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on your hope that you have in Jesus Christ, the hope of heaven. Hold fast, and hold fast through God's word. Hold fast to Jesus. Remain faithful and not unfaithful. Finish. Finish in faith. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Again and again, Jesus said, the one who endures, literally stands firm to the end, will be saved. Jesus said, he who stands firm to the end. It's not starting that's most important. It's finishing that's most important. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. We are moving toward the finish line. When we break the tape, the joys of heaven will be set before us. Certainly there is a cross to be borne now, but after the cross comes the crown. At the end of Paul's life, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And we might be thinking, good for you, Paul. You were faithful. But not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. To all who have loved his appearing. To all who are faithful to the end. Stay faithful to the finish. And by God's grace, may that be true for all of us. Let us encourage one another to persevere in faith. Keep focused on Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I know I need to hear this word. There are things that get me off course. There are things that keep me from keeping my focus on what's most important in life. Oh, Lord God, keep me focused on Jesus and on all that he has done for me. Lord, I pray that no one will hear this message today and think that, well, it's just up to me. I've got to run, walk, or crawl to the finish line, and it's all on me. Lord, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus and his power to see us through to the end. Lord, help us to keep focused on Jesus because Jesus is gripping us. It is all by grace. It is not by works. Lord, help us to turn to you and receive your grace daily, and in your grace to receive the strength we need to keep going. Father, if there's anyone here today that has never accepted the grace you have given to them in Jesus Christ, has never accepted and received the salvation by receiving Jesus into their heart and life, Lord, I pray that today would be that day. Lord, today, when we hear your voice, let us not harden our hearts, but rather let us confess Jesus Christ. Lord, today when we hear your voice, may we cry out to you, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for my sin. I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died to forgive that sin on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead and give me a certain and sure hope of everlasting life, a confident assurance that I'll be with you forever in heaven. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord. Lord, help me. Help me keep focused on you. Help me live for you, even as you now live in me. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.